Earlier today, the FBI arrested Rod Blagojevich, the governor of Illinois, who ran for office promising reform. Allegedly, he tried to sell a U.S. Senate seat, among other things. Today, Robert Grant, the head of the FBI office in Chicago, addressed reporters.
I got here 4 years ago. A lot of you were in the audience, asked me the question of whether or not Illinois is the most corrupt state in the United States. And I didn't answer that question, yes or no. And I can't answer that question today. I don't have 49 other states to compare it with. But I can tell you one thing. If it isn't the most corrupt state in the United States, it's certainly one hell of a competitor.
Robert Grant, the head of the FBI office in Chicago. And that is just today's news from the Windy City. Yesterday, the Tribune Company announced that it filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. And a standoff continues outside a Chicago factory where some 200 workers laid off last week demand severance and vacation pay. And, of course, we now see regular news conferences from Chicago, the hometown, of course, of President-elect Barack Obama. Well, sometimes everybody wants to be the center of the universe. Be afraid of what you ask for. Chicagoans, we want to hear from you today. What do you make of all of this? Corruptions, layoff, bankruptcy. 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. And Maurice Postley joins us now from the studios of Chicago Public Radio, a Pulitzer Prize-winning former Chicago Tribune reporter. Nice to have you with us today.
My pleasure.
And the FBI hauls Governor Blagojevich. They call him at home before arresting him. This is an astonishing turn of events.
This could go down as the most famous wake-up call in Illinois history. 6 a.m., the governor answers his phone, and it is Mr. Grant saying, I have two agents down at your front door and a warrant for your arrest. And he said, is this a joke? Well, we know it isn't a joke now. You wonder if that was recorded, because apparently everything he said over the last 8 to 10 weeks has been recorded, at least on a telephone from his house or in his office, which appears to have been bugged. When you talk about making history, they did this so that the cameras wouldn't record him being led in handcuffs from his Northwest Side home. But certainly in our great history of governors going to prison and being arrested, we haven't seen one being taken out in handcuffs.
And it is interesting to point out that, of course, his predecessor as governor is in prison right now, and that Rod Blagojevich ran on the promise that he would stop the play for pay corruption culture in Illinois and in Chicago. And it all you can look at these charges and figure out is what he did was double down on play for play.
It would appear so. He's either the most arrogant politician in the history of the world or the dumbest, because he basically threw that gauntlet down. And then, the way it appears, turned his back on it.
It is simply astonishing, not just allegedly selling the seat of President-elect Obama. He said, well, you know, this is worth something. You can't just give it away. All of this is on tape. And I guess the city of Chicago is abuzz right now with trying to identify Senate candidates 1 through 7.
Yes, that'll be the parlor game for a while, we have periodic indictment parlor games. This is not yet an indictment. It's a sworn affidavit that will, I'm sure, become an indictment in the not-too-distant future. I think perhaps unlike other times, it's cyclical here and fairly like the weather. It comes fairly regularly. I think there may be an awful lot of people marching toward that federal building to tell their story a lot quicker. Pat Fitzgerald made it pretty clear. We want to hear your story. And the fact is that there were a lot of conversations recorded. There were a lot of references to a lot of people. Some of it was second, third, fourth hand. It's being funneled through by other people. And everybody is going to want to get their story straight because this, I think, has sent a shock and a shiver through the political system and the government system like no other in a long, long time.
Mr. Fitzgerald, of course, the prosecutor brought in for the Scooter Libby case here in Washington, D.C., now back home in Chicago. And we should, those unfamiliar with the allegations, Senator One seems to have been the virtuous one who said all that she would offer in return was her gratitude. And the tape allegedly says, well, blank her. And Senator Five is the one who allegedly offered $500,000.
Well, yeah, we get the whole sort of the horizon here.
It's unbelievable.
And he says, appreciation? This is golden for me. I deserve more than that. I mean, when he, you know, when he says we've reached, this is Fitzgerald, the U.S. attorney, says we've reached a new low and it's shocking and stunning. I mean, those almost seem to, it's like the guy has a keen sense for the obvious. I mean, but it's that doesn't even do justice to what we're hearing here, where he's shaken down the CEO of a children's hospital for a $50,000 contribution after the $8 million has already been approved to the hospital. I mean, and it, actually one of the most amazing things to me is that when the prosecutor gets up there and says, we did this now because this man was on a crime spree and we have bills waiting to be signed, things that are going to happen, and they basically wanted to stop more crimes from occurring.
Let's get a caller on the line. This is John, and John's calling us from Humboldt Park in Chicago. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. I just want to say that I am appalled by what's going on with the Blagojevich investigation. But as a Chicagoan, I'm a little upset with the way Robert Grant characterized the investigation, where he said Chicago and Illinois were in the running for essentially the dirtiest political culture in America. You know, this is still the nation that within the last 4 years brought us William Jefferson in Louisiana and Tom DeLay. And I think that this investigation here may be the death throes of pay for play, and that, you know, we are on the way to being a more virtuous city and state. I, for one, cannot, you know, go to my alderman and have my traffic tickets taken away. There might be a perception, and I think the McCain campaign perpetuated it when they said, you know, I'm not going to take advice from a quote unquote Chicago politician. And you know, I'm feeling a little beat up right now because I think the culture is changing. I think this hopefully is the beginning of the end.
I think we can all hope it's the beginning of the end. But this is the sitting governor of Illinois. His predecessor is in prison, and I take your point that perhaps there would be objections from Louisiana that they might be in competition too. But nevertheless, this looks pretty bad, John.
I agree. I think Fitzgerald handled the press conference better. He, you know, to very carefully parse it in terms of presumed innocent, whereas the leader of the investigation, Robert Grant, didn't you know, use those qualifications. And I just was sort of sat up in my couch and said, I was asking for a little more dispassion from a federal employee on that right. Score.
John, thanks very much. Let's see if we can get, this is Claire, and Claire's with us also on the line from Chicago.
Hi, yes. I was just calling because, you know, I was watching the news conferences this morning and saw Pat Quinn get up there, our lieutenant governor, saying that Blagojevich could temporarily remove himself from office. And my question is kind of, who gets to pick our senator now? Because Blagojevich is still technically our governor.
And technically, I guess he's still allowed to pick the next governor, Maurice Posley.
He is. I think that because it is within his power and his discretion. And at this point, he is the governor until he resigns, is impeached, or is convicted. And conviction trial is, of course, a long ways away. It'd be interesting to see, in terms of impeachment, whether the legislature might start its own investigation. But my goodness, I think it's an incredible situation to the extent that he is going to be under a microscope like never before. Certainly publicly, if not, you know, the way he has been with law enforcement. And how are we as a public going to judge whatever he does? Whatever his motivations now, are they self-serving? Are they going to be because he thinks that this will help him in his criminal case? I think, you know, this is a really sort of dire situation in a way in terms of the leadership of the state.
And Claire, I should tell you that the Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn has called on the governor to do the right thing, by which I think he means resign. But of course, that would make the Lieutenant Governor the governor. And Dick Durbin, who's the senior senator, the only senator from Illinois at the moment, has called on the state legislature to immediately pass a law to hold a special election as quickly as possible to fill the Senate seat on the theory that anyone appointed by the current governor could not possibly be considered, it would be tainted.
Exactly. So,
all right. Thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And we have to point out, Maurice Posley, that your newspaper in the news, the Tribune Corporation, of course, filed for bankruptcy yesterday and today, revealed that they had a part in this investigation.
Actually, two parts is the way I understand it. One is that they were a target of the governor's wrath because of their lack of editorial support. And when the Tribune Company floated the idea of having the Cubs, purchased by the Illinois Financing Authority, he said, get a couple of those people fired off the editorial board and I might see if this thing can happen. And his chief of staff, who also was arrested, John Harris, apparently, according to the tape, said, I'll talk to some folks there, but I'm not going to exactly put it in. It was going to be a little bit more nuanced.
Than a quid pro quo, yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing that was interesting to me that the U.S. attorney revealed was that the Tribune was ready to go with a story about 6 or 8 weeks ago, and they convinced them to hold back at least some of it, if not most of it, because they were about to put in these put up the bug and put the tap on the guy's phone, which, that's his side of it. I haven't heard the Tribune's side of it. But
we actually have a Tribune statement. The Chicago Tribune investigated allegations of misconduct involving Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich independent of the U.S. Attorney's criminal probe. As a standard practice, our reporters contact individuals involved in these stories for confirmation and comment prior to publication. Consequently, we contacted the U.S. Attorney's office in the course of our reporting. On occasion, prosecutors ask us to delay publication of stories, asserting that disclosure would jeopardize the criminal investigation. In isolated incidents, we granted the requests. Other requests were refused. The Chicago Tribune's interest in reporting the news flows from its larger obligation of citizenship in a democracy. In each case, we strive to make the right decision as reporters and as citizens, and that's what we did in this case. So, we're
interesting.
We're talking with Maurice Posley, a former reporter for the Chicago Tribune, about all the news from Chicago today. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Chad on the line. Chad with us also from Chicago.
Yeah, I just have a comment. Unfortunately, I think the events with Rod Blagojevich are going to overshadow what I'm going to say, but I just had a comment about the sit-in at the window factory by the United Electrical Workers. And I just say I think it's a great thing for Chicago, and it's about time, and for two reasons. First of all, finally working people get a chance to fight back in a way they haven't for many, many years. Excuse me. And secondly, it exposes the banks for exactly the $700 billion bank for what it is, and it's the incredible money funneled upwards and no interest or no intention of ever letting us have any of it back.
This is the story of the Republic factory where layoffs were announced and the employees occupy the building and continue to occupy the building, saying, wait a minute, we have accrued vacation time. You're supposed to pay that and you're supposed to give us notice and these sorts of things. This is totally unfair. They've been supported by Chicagoan Barack Obama, Maurice Posley. And this is quite a story as well.
I think it is. I think it's even a more powerful story because it hasn't happened in many, many years I feel like it hasn't anyway.
Chad, let's hear from Maurice.
I think it is really a terrific story, and I think there's a bunch of layers that we don't even know all about yet. One is the company's role in this, and they at some point are shifting it, basically saying it's the bank, and there's a lot of he said, she said going on in here. Then you've got the governor, our now arrested governor, or soon to be released on bond governor, saying at one point that he was going to pull all business from this a bank unless they straightened up and walked correctly here in regards to what's going on. And you wonder, was that a shakedown? So there's a lot of layers that's going on in here. Certainly, just from a personal standpoint, seeing the Tribune file for bankruptcy and just a 10 days ago, people getting buyouts or leaving and wondering, are they going to get their severance that was supposedly promised? What happens to some of those people? And these are just people at the window company who just are looking to get their paycheck.
And I agree. I think the important thing too is even that regardless of whether it was the bank or the company, these people did it. 200 of them, and got people's attention regardless of whose fault it is or who they're owed money by. I guess that's what's impressive to me.
All right, Chad. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Here's an email from Geraldine in Chicago. I'm a Chicago resident and worked for 2 years in the Office of Communications of Blago. That's the short name for Blagojevich. And I could not vote for him. This city and state encourages corruption because it is an insidious insider's game. The miracle of Obama is not being elected president, but rising to the top without being sleazy. Fitzgerald is doing a great job. And, of course, Maurice Posley, there were a lot of questions about, well, they're setting Senator Obama's Senate seat. What role, if any, did he play in this? According to the news conference held today, there was no evidence that he was involved in any of this at all.
None whatsoever, according to the U.S. attorney. And I believe that's absolutely true, because here's a man who's, about to be sworn into office in 6 weeks or so, and he's facing such gigantic crises nationally. I think the last thing he's worried about at this point is who Governor Blagojevich is going to appoint to this. There are other people who are thinking about that. And I think, we'll play the parlor game of who turned it down, but I think there's that's probably going to be out, if not out already. And, the whole idea that this guy was trying to sell this is just so stunning. I can't get my arms around it.
Maurice Posley, Pulitzer Prize winner, former reporter with the Chicago Tribune, co-author of the book Everybody Pays, Two Men, One Murder, and the Price of Truth, with us today from WBEZ, our member station in Chicago. Thanks very, very much for your time today.
My pleasure.
Tomorrow, more on this, as you might expect, with political junkie Ken Rudin, and also more later today on All Things Considered about all of this, so stay tuned for that. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.